President, Springfield, Massachusetts, 16 October 1952.
United States, Harry S. Truman.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I certainly am highly pleased to be here again, and I'm more than highly pleased at the warmth of this reception. I didn't think you'd be out looking for a has-been. You didn't see what he looked like. And I feel highly complimented that you're willing to come out and hear me discuss the issues. That's all I'm doing. I'm trying to put before the people just exactly what the issues are, and when they know what they are, they'll know what to do. This is a good democratic country, and you've shown by your voting record that you know the Democratic Party is the party that really works for the people. I expect you know why I'm here. Maybe I better tell you, though. I'm campaigning for the Democratic ticket. I'm working in one of my five jobs as the head of the Democratic Party. You have an excellent slate of Democrats here in Massachusetts. For Congress, Edward P. Boland. I'm sure he will do the same kind of first-class job for you in Washington that Foster Furculo has done. I understand you're going to elect Mr. Furculo as state treasurer this year. From what he's shown us in Washington, I know he will be a good one. We also have the candidate for Congress from the 1st District with us on this train, William H. Burns. I know he'll make a good representative for that district. For the Senate, you have a fine young man as a candidate for the Senate, and we certainly do need some young blood in that Senate. John Kennedy is a man who's already rendered great service to this state in the House of Representatives, and will keep up the good work in the Senate. Be sure and send him down there. For governor, you don't need me to tell you anything about Paul Dever for governor. He's a fine Democratic leader who will continue his excellent work in the state capital. I want to say a word about our national ticket now, if I may. Adlai Stevenson for president and John Sparkman for vice president. Here in Springfield, you've already had a chance to see Governor Stevenson and listen to what he has to say. He's one of the outstanding men in public service in our generation. When he speaks to the people, he gives them the straight story. Stevenson is a man of great integrity and real feeling for the everyday people of this country. He's a man you can trust in the office of the president. That's also true of John Sparkman. He's one of our most progressive leaders in the Congress. He has proved by his record of 15 years in the House and the Senate that he can be trusted to work for the people. While I'm here, this happens to be Roger Putnam's hometown. And while I'm talking about men who've given great service to the American people, I want to pay tribute to this hometownsman of yours, the former mayor of Springfield, Roger Putnam. Roger Putnam's been down in Washington for over a year now, handling the tough job of economic stabilizer. He took over that assignment just after the Republicans had finished their first hatchet job on our price and wage control. He has since lived through another attempted slaughter by the Republicans. And he has done a grand job in helping to stabilize our economy in spite of all the Republican obstruction. I suppose you know that the Republican candidate for president has been going around the country moaning about the high prices we are paying today and blaming it all on the Democratic administration. Of course, he does not dare mention the voting record of the Republican Party. Maybe nobody's told him that his party in Congress has a long, unbroken record of trying to kill or cripple price and wage and rent controls at every chance they had. Back in 1946, when we needed controls until our civilian production got back to normal, the Republicans voted almost to a man to kill controls. They finally succeeded, and the cost of living went up 15% in 6 months, just as I predicted it would. I'm sure you all remember that period, the worst inflationary rise in the history of the country. In 1947 and 1948, I tried to get price control authority back on the statute books. But that Republican, good-for-nothing 80th Congress just laughed at my efforts. Then the Korean emergency came along, and by the time we got control, a controls bill passed, and the stabilization agencies established, the cost of living had gone up almost 8% in 6 months. Then, in early November 1951, we got a general price freeze put on. And what did the Republicans do? Once we put a lid on prices, they began a vicious attack on the basic price control legislation. In 1951, they put across the Capehart Amendment, which by now has added about $1 billion in higher prices to the American people. Last year, Republican senators voted 7-1 to curtail price rollbacks and 12-1 to prevent effective control of black marketing in need. This year, the Republican congressmen voted 4-1 to scuttle all price controls and 6-1 to end all rent controls. And then to top it all off, in 1951 and again this year, the Republicans ganged up with a few Democrats to slash appropriations so that the remaining control authority could not be properly enforced against the chiselers and the profiteers. Despite these Republican attempts to wreck control, we've been doing a pretty good job to keep inflation down. In the past 20 months, the cost of living has risen less than 4%. Prices are higher than they ought to be, and I've told you why. But in spite of high prices, most people are better off than they ever were before. The dollar does not buy as much as it once did, but people have a lot more dollars to buy with. The income's gone up a lot faster than prices in these last 20 years, twice as fast, in fact. Those Hoover dollars were worth a lot, all right, but it took many people an entire day's labor to earn one of them. And 14 million of our fellow citizens who were unemployed weren't able to earn anything at all, so the Hoover dollar didn't do them a bit of good. Republicans have given this country two terrible demonstrations of how they can drive prices down. 1921, they got prices down 20% in a big hurry, and they were 7 million people out of work. In 1931, they got prices down 25% in 2 years, and it took 14 million unemployed to do that. Anytime you hear their candidate talking about cutting prices and bringing back the Hoover dollar, you'd better stop and think how the Republicans go about these things. Because, take this now, their first effort, they made 7 million unemployed. Their next effort, they made 14 million unemployed. And if you give them another chance, you probably have 28 million. Is that worth a Hoover dollar? You just won't get steady prices from an outfit like that. Boom and bust is their stock and trade. Their record speaks for itself. They won't look out for your jobs, your income, or the prices you have to pay. This government is your government. The Constitution provides that the power of government rests in the people. And when the people exercise their right to vote, they exercise the power to control their government. Now, I'm out going around the country trying to get people to think. I'm trying to get people to read the record. I'm trying to get people to understand just what their interests are. I'm trying to get them to remember The record made in the Congress by the Republicans in Congress is the record on which they have to run. They don't want to run on that record. They don't dare to. I want you also to study the record of the Democrats in Congress. The majority of the Democrats in Congress have always been for the people, and they always will be for the people. Now, if you want to look out for your own interests, if you want to look out for the welfare of this great nation of ours, if you want to look out for the welfare of the free nations of the world and to keep the world free and to keep communism from this country, the way to do it is to vote for the party that's always been against communism and that's always fought them and convicted them. We've taken action. We haven't just talked about it and smeared people just for the benefit of a few headlines. Go to the polls on the 4th day of November and vote in your own interest. Vote the Democratic ticket and the country will be safe another 4 years. Now I've got a great helper along with me.